Well, several years ago, I was able to tour the church at Williamsburg up in Virginia, one of the early settlements of America. It had a long pole in the back of the church and a bulb on the end of it. And in those days, when that was done back in the Revolutionary War days, the elders of the church just stood back with a pole. And if they saw people nodding, you know, they didn't make them leave, but they did kind of make them aware that they were sleeping during the worship service. And at the upstairs there, the balcony, was interesting because that's where William and Mary University is now. Well, William and Mary College was there, and all church attendance was mandatory. And when the last student went in, they locked the door. So there wasn't anybody running to the restrooms. There wasn't anybody doing that. And they had a guy up there with a pole, and the students couldn't sleep. Now, I know that all of you have just, if you didn't eat today, it was your fault. It was your fault. And so if you go to sleep on me, I got somebody's watching you, and he's got a pole. This afternoon, I want to talk about Christians that are in bondage. Christians that are in bondage. Christians that have let something in their life take charge of their lives. I've told y'all, I saw my father become a hopeless alcoholic. You know, I saw what alcohol could do to someone who just let it take over his life, destroy his life, destroy his marriage, and make, you know, he had three sons, and I'm happy to say none of us are alcoholics. But many times that thing, that gene kind of filters down because he was in bondage to something called alcohol. Well, now, we don't, you know, because we're not shackled, we don't think of ourselves as in bondage. But let me tell you something. Anything that controls your life has you in bondage. Anything that controls your life controls your soul. Listen. In John 8:13, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, now there's a big if there, isn't it? If you hold to my teaching, you are my disciples. And then look what he says. Since you're my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Now, often we think that he's talking just about sin. Well, he is talking about sin, but he's talking about a lot of other things. A lot of other things. You know people that live in bondage. They are not free. They may be living and working and existing in this life, but they're not free. Think about freedom with me. Do you know that in our Constitution, we're the only nation on earth that guarantees freedom? Do you know our Constitution is the most copied Constitution that's ever been written? And one of the things that stands out and one of the things that other nations would like to have in their constitutions is the fact that that our Constitution guarantees you freedom. Guarantees you freedom. It's in our Pledge of Allegiance, isn't it? When we use our Pledge of Allegiance, we thank God for being free. We're free. Our Constitution says we are. Pledging allegiance to the flag says the same thing. We're free. We're free. But freedom is more than just what we sing about. Freedom is more than in the songs that are written, some of them Christian songs, some non-Christian, but it's more than that. Freedom is more than that. Unfortunately, there are people in chains. Chains to something on earth. It's a sin. It may be a sin they're chained to. It may be debt. All of us know people that just stay chained to debt. They never are able to break the chains of debt. And then I've already mentioned alcohol. Let me throw in drugs. There's a world out there of people chained to drugs. You see it every day now. We're trying to get control of the opiates that are killing people. They're killing people. One of the major killers in America are drugs. Drugs, and people are chained to that addiction. Chained to that addiction. Now, there are other things you can be changed. You can be changed in an unhappy marriage. Don't anybody raise their hand. But you can be changed in an unhappy marriage. You can be changed in a dead-end job. Have you ever been, don't raise your hand on this one either, have you ever been in a job when you realize one day that this is a dead end, I don't like it, I don't find any satisfaction here, I got to be in the wrong place? You're chained to a job or some particular thing. People change to toys. You know, toys, I won't get into the toys that men buy. You know, toys, and you get chained to it and you never get enough. You know, there's one thing about the things that Satan tempts us with, there's never enough. It's never, it's like somebody that's chained to making money, they discover there's never enough. You know, there was a lot of publicity in the Wall Street Journal about 3 or 4 months ago. One of the wealthiest men in America killed himself because he was afraid that he was going to lose his money, and he had millions and millions and millions chained to money, chained to wealth. Change to what they thought wealth could buy. But you know, the thing about it is, and all of us get tempted, but we know who can break the chain. We know who can break the chain. We know that there's not a chain that Jesus can't break. But remember this, if Jesus breaks a chain, like the scripture says, you incur an obligation. You incur an obligation to him if he breaks your chain. He just doesn't go around breaking chains because he likes to. He breaks the chains of people who turn to him and ask him to. There's not a one he can't break. Not a one he can't break, my friend. But when he breaks a chain, he expects us to start a new life in a new direction with a new purpose. When he doesn't just break the chain, he wants us to walk away from our past. He wants to walk away from those things that pulled us down. He wants us to set our sights on him and the hereafter. There's a price for him to break our chain. There's a price. Now, I have 3 points with this, as I do in most of my sermons. To be set free, and I realize I'm talking to a unique group of people. Not only are you unique being Christian, but after a big meal like we've just had and a great lunch and a good, wonderful fellowship, and the fact that you came back into this building tells me something about you. But even you and I can get caught in these chains. We can get caught in chains. But listen, to be set free, you got to know that you're in the chain. Now, most people will deny. Most people will deny that they're in the chain. But the Bible says, in the 116th Psalm, the writer says, "You have freed me from my chains." Now, why would he make a statement like that? That means that this man who wrote this 116th Psalm had been chained to something. Now, he doesn't tell us what it was. He doesn't tell us if it was a sin or a habit or some greedy thing he was after. He doesn't say, but he's giving God the praise, "You have set me free from the chain that I had." I suspect that one or two of us in here could say, God did the same thing to me. He set me free from the chain. But any Christian that's bound by chain is not free. Any Christian that's hooked on something like this is not free. Any Christian that's in a chain is not giving God a chance to do what he's willing to do, because he's willing to set us free. He is willing to set us free. But you know, the devil's handcuffs that he puts on us are never easy to take off, because he's fighting it all the way. He doesn't want you free. He doesn't want us free. He doesn't want us to say what the psalmist said here. And so many Christians are never able to shake off the chain. They're saved. I don't doubt that. But they still are in bondage to something. Still in bondage to something. And as long as we're in bondage to anything, we're not free. We're not free. We can come to church. We can read the Bible. We can pray. We can do all the things that we ought to be doing. But if we're in bondage to something, we're not free. We're not free. We're still slaves to something. You know, look at America. You know, it's unfortunate in our history we have slaves. I don't think anybody's proud of the fact that America had slaves, but we did. But we did. And what was a slave? He was someone that did not own himself. Somebody else owned him. Someone else owned him. Now, we can get into all kinds of arguments about how slaves were treated. You know, when I hear about all this abuse and all this beating and all of these terrible things that happen to slaves, but you know, if I had a guy working for me and he could sabotage what he was doing so easily and cause me great financial loss, I believe I'd treat him pretty good. I've never been a slave owner, in spite of what my wife might have said if she was here, but I've never had a slave. But God will set us free. He will set us free. And many times there are Christians that need to be set free. Now, what sets him free? I'm glad you asked. In the 114th Psalm, the first two verses, listen to what the psalmist says. He says, I love the Lord. Now, he's going to tell you why. I love the Lord, for he heard my voice. He heard my cry for mercy, and I'm going to call on him as long as I live. I love reading that because here's a man who was tired of bondage. We don't know what he was in bondage to, but he was tired of his bondage, and one day he obviously asked God to break it, and God broke it. God broke it for him. He made a commitment. He said, God has broken me out of the chains. He's broken me out of bondage, and I'm going to be on a man-to-man, one-to-one, person-to-person relationship with him as long as I live. That's a guy that's been set free. That's a guy that's been set free. I'll call on him. God, prayer broke his chain, by the way. Prayer broke his chains, he indicates in this. So don't be chained to anything. As long as you're in bondage to something, you're not free. I don't care how long you've been a Christian. You can slip into bondage to things. Things. I preached on things last Sunday. Things. What a temptation. You know, the devil tempts us sometimes. We say, well, I don't go to Las Vegas and gamble, or I don't drink, or I don't do these other things. I only own 6 boats, or I only own 4 cars, or something like that. I have a good friend that he's trying to change his life, And the last time I asked him, I said, how many boats do you own now? And he said, well, I only own 6. Now, how many boats can you fish in? I don't fish enough. I don't hardly fish any. How many boats you need to fish? He said he owned 6. Well, of course, he gave me the length and the boats and the motors and the strengths and all of that. But here's a guy whose his weakness, obviously, was what? Buy him another boat. New model has come out. New model has come out. That's bondage. That's bondage. That's bondage. This man was tired, and to show his freedom, to be free, we got to know who makes us free. Listen to this. In Galatians 5:1, Paul said, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. He sets us free from everything. So he says, do not let yourselves get burdened again with a yoke of slavery. Don't get burdened again into slavery. Anyone in bondage is a slave. And as I said earlier, any slave doesn't own himself. Someone else owns him. And he says here, don't get burdened again with a yoke of slavery. See, slaves wore a yoke of bondage of which they could not break. And Christians do too, unless they let Jesus break that bondage for them. Now, Jesus told us one of the reasons he came to save us, yes. But the secondary reason he came to was, he says in Luke 4:18, God, or he has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. Now, it didn't mean that Jesus was to go down to the Roman jail and free everybody in there. It had nothing to do with the Roman prisoners. It had nothing to do with the political prisoners of that time. When the scripture says he has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, he was talking about us. What do we get in bondage to? What do we get in bondage to? That's what he said, that he came to set us free. And Jesus' secondary purpose, not only the first, obviously, is to save our souls. The second one is to keep us free from bondage to anything but him. Anything but him. This means when he says that he came to proclaim freedom for the prisoners, that means he came looking for me and he came looking for you. Looking for you to set us free, he's looking for us. Because he said he knew when he came, there were a lot of people in Satan's custody. In Satan's custody. You ever drive along the highway and see those guys in the jumpsuits picking up the trash? What do you know? They've done something wrong. They're in bondage to the state or the county. They're in bondage. They're not free. Now, they look like you. They walk like you. They talk like you. They're like us in every way, except you kept driving, didn't you? And they kept picking up the trash that the nasty people threw out the car windows. But they're not free. Well, Jesus said, I've come to set you free, those in bondage free. Or he called it freedom to the prisoners. He didn't go to the Roman jails. He went among the people, and he set them free. and he's still doing that, by the way. Came on a mission, and his mission was not only to save people, but find those that were in chains. So if we reject, Jesus' willingness to set us free, we're rejecting the God that sent him. Do we want to be responsible for rejecting the God that sent him? I told you in the morning service, every one of us has an appointment. You're a Christian, you got an appointment. We don't know when, but we have an appointment for the judgment seat of Christ, where we're going to go and stand before Jesus. Now, I believe with all my heart, he's not going to be a blazing, beautiful, gorgeous creature. He's going to be just like he was when he went up through into the heavens with the disciples looking on. And he still bore all the marks of the crucifixion, didn't he? He still had the nails in his hand, prints in his hands, in his feet, and the beating in his face, the stripes on his back. Now, we're going to stand before him in that condition, knowing it was my sins that did that to him. So if that's going to happen, we need to get rid of the bondage. Now, third point. If that is really true, then would we do a self-examination? Would we do a self-examination? Well, let's see what the scripture says. Paul said in the letter to the church at Corinth, examine yourselves to see whether you in the faith. Then he says something. He says, test yourself. Test yourself. Do this test. He said, do you realize that Jesus Christ is in you? And then he adds, unless, of course, you fail the test, unless you're not a Christian. If you're not a Christian, then he's not in you. You're in bondage to sin, right on, and he's not in you. It's a tragedy that you and I can go to Jesus and surrender our hearts, our minds, our soul, our strength, and our everything, and God wipe out all of our sins, and we walk out of there and go get in bondage to something. Go get chained to something, some sin, some addiction, some habit, some family tradition. One day I'm going to preach a sermon on family traditions. It's wonderful if a family tradition is spiritually worth something. But I've run into some family traditions that is just absolutely idiotic. You know, I remember when I was pastor up in Rebecca, there was a lady in my church came to my church regular from another denomination. And she came regular than some of my church members. And I remember going to see her and asking her if she would like to join our church. And she said, I can't. Well, I wondered why. I said, well, why can't you? And she said, I promised my mama as long as I lived, I would never change churches from her church. And her mother's dead. And I said, well, listen, honey, are you afraid of your mama more than you are God? And she thought about it a minute, and she gave me an honest answer. She said, yes, sir. I am more afraid of my mama than I am of God. You know, I did a funeral for a guy over when I was at Metcalf. I did a funeral for a well-known guy because of what had happened in his life. And he came to church regular. He was a good man, and I baptized his wife. We were talking about that this morning when there's some misunderstanding about the water and the heat and all. The preacher got down in the water over there. And the guys that did the preparation, they went over the day before, wintertime, and they got the water in the pool and got the heater going and went home and got a good night's rest. The problem was, as soon as they left, the heater went out. Next morning, I stepped into that, and I forgot what I was in there for. It was that cold. And that dear lady that I baptized that day, I baptized a child, and it didn't bother the child any, but that lady, if she got on the stand today, she couldn't swear she was ever baptized because her mind was not there. Her mind was not there. Listen, some of these habits, by the way, I got right chasing a rabbit, and I got into baptismal pool. I should have been at the funeral. At the funeral, I did a funeral for the guy who's true to his mother. He, too, never changed denominations. He attended church a whole lot more than some of our church members, but he couldn't join because he promised his mama he would never join. And I could go on and preach you two sermons about things I've run into that no mama said, daddy said, As a preacher out in deacon out in Mississippi told me one time, he said, my granddaddy was a deacon here, my daddy was a deacon here, and one day my son will be a deacon here. Well, That was a family tradition, but I'll tell you what, it ended. It ended. Anyway, don't want to chase any more of those. Christians in chains have a way. We have a guarantee. If you get in bondage to something, Jesus will set you free. We have a guarantee. I know we do because the Bible says in Psalm 146, the Lord sets the prisoner free. All he's got to do is let him. The Lord sets the prisoner free. Now, if we live in chains, bondage, or whatever you call it, we do it by our own choice. I realize that some addictions are not easy to break if it's an addiction. You know, I've seen people try to break the addiction. I served for 2.5 years at the Alcohol Rehab Center in San Diego. We had 80 beds. I've mentioned this several times. We had 80 beds, and all the time we had 80 or more people in treatment there, 80 or more military men and women in treatment there, all trying to break this addiction. One of the best friends I ever made was a Catholic priest who went through two and a half times. He went through two times and it didn't stick either time. Went through another time. Halfway through, they threw him out. They threw him out saying, you refuse to work for your own recovery. You refuse to participate in your own recovery. And they threw him out. Charlie died. He soon drank himself to death. That guy, even though he's a Roman Catholic priest, knew every hymn in the old Baptist hymnal. He knew every hymn in that hymnal, and he could sing them. You know, when he was coming up to my office, he'd start singing some old Baptist hymn, you know, knowing I'd look up as soon as he came in the door. But, you know, he never could break the bondage of alcohol. And you've known people that couldn't break the bondage of this or that or the other. We had 80 people in there all the time trying to break the bondage. Some of them did. Some of them were in recovery. Y'all know that alcoholics never recover. They just go for another day without a drink. And so we had some successes. We had some terrible failures. Some terrible failures there. People that had the opportunity to have the treatment, to make some kind of recovery, and just chose not to. Just chose not. And we had something over them the civilian world never has. We had a military career over them. And many of them had years and years in and needed to hang on and retire. So you had a motivator for them that you don't have that in the civilian world. But the addiction, for some of these addictions, is hard to do. But listen, what did I read in the beginning? If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. So let me wrap this up. Let me conclude it for you. If you're here today and you're not a free Christian, I want you to know that you know better and you know where you can get freedom. You know that there's nothing that Jesus will not set you free from. So there's no excuse for any of us. We're without excuse. You know, in a morning general service, you might have people that really don't know what you're talking about. But you do, or you wouldn't be in here right now. We know where the answers are. So if you're chained with something, my friend, you know the answer. If you're in prison and you got the key in your pocket, you're most likely going to walk out, aren't you? Every one of us have the key in our pocket. Every one of us have the key in our pocket, and the key is exactly what I talked about here. If we get tired enough for the spiritual freedom, we use the key. Use the key. You know, I remember hearing the old counselor so many times in San Diego say, you're never going to get sober until you realize you are drunk. And there's no hope for you. And it worked. It works. It works better for Jesus. It's a whole lot less struggle with him than any other way. So God is ready to free us. He's ready to free us. And I put up on the screen there, why don't we just say with these bondages, with these prisons that people live in, why don't we say with the psalmist, I'm going to walk about in freedom. To say that, you got to know the one who sets us free. Been talking about him all this time. God bless you for being here this afternoon. You're a good bunch of people. Let's stand for dismissal.